Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
Going to be continuing our new normal series. If this is your first time here, we have been unpacking what it means to live in the supernatural life of Jesus since the resurrection. And last Sunday, it was Mother's Day, and we talked about blessings that come in the new normal. The courage of Esther, that blessing, to let go of being orphans and walk as sons and daughters of God on mission. The strength of Deborah to come alongside others in their weakness. The vision of Anna, fresh vision for your life, no matter your age or circumstance, and faith like Eunice to pray when no one sees. Anybody encouraged by those women of God this week? I hope that you kind of tapped into some of their stories a little bit. The Bible study this week was great in unpacking their lives more as well. And then the first week in our New Normal series, we asked, where is my starting point for the day? I hope that's been a question that's been on repeat. So, like, where is the starting point for my marriage or for how I'm seeing my priorities or my workplace? And that really impacts how you live then for the rest of the day. And then also receiving and sharing the abundant life of Jesus. So that definition of new normal is a previously unfamiliar or atypical situation that has become standard, usual, or expected. And I looked up, this is scary, I looked up a few new normals in the last 30 years. Are you ready? GPS was not here 30 years ago. Pastor Tom knew one of the inventors of it. He's got fun stories with that if you ever want to hear. Email. Let's be real. Who has over 1,000 unread emails in their inbox? Should be a qualifier for adulthood, I think. I used to I try to get rid of them. I'm like, this is pointless. Like, it's just, I will get back to you though. Your email is not pointless. It's just, it's all the spam and stuff. You can't keep up. YouTube or streaming, that did not exist. How about health trackers like a Fitbit? I had a ring that I used to wear when it could fit, right? And it was like, you are stressed. And I'm like, no kidding, right? Like, thanks for telling me, right? The problem is I'm not sure I ever got healthier because of it. That's the issue. It's like, right? How about Febreze? That was weird when I looked it up. I was like, okay. We're not all smelling better in our environments either, though I'm not pro Febreze necessarily. Online banking. We're all wealthier because we can budget faster, right? Right? So what does that mean? That means just because we have access to something doesn't mean it helps us, because what we do with it is what matters. Right? That's important. So, in the new normal, Jesus gives through his cross and resurrection, you know, we used to have to work for acceptance in God, right? Earning his attention. And now we receive acceptance from God through his grace. How many love amazing grace? Amen? Used to be saved and forgiven by sacrifices, right? Sacrifices. And now we're saved and forgiven by the one-time sacrifice of Jesus. How many are grateful for his one-time sacrifice? It was conditional relationship, and now it's an unconditional love and an eternal relationship through Jesus. Isn't this new normal amazing? How about condemnation to reconciliation in Jesus? Amen. It's also just a good heart check, because it's so easy to kind of slip into the old normal when Jesus died and resurrected to give us the new normal. Amen? It does not get old. But just because we have access to it does not mean that we are receiving it or walking in it, right? Just like the others that I mentioned. What we do with the new normal, what we do with the gift of God matters in our lives. Amen? How is the gospel changing you right now? There's just one question you walk away with today. How is the gospel changing you right now? How many know you can go to church, you can hear someone talk, you can read something, but how is it changing you? It's really easy to kind of slip into that, like building knowledge or just cruise control, but Jesus came to change us, to transform us. Amen? So our theme verse is, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, can everyone say behold? New things have come. 2 Corinthians 5:17. We're going to talk about beholding this morning. And this was awesome. Yesterday, Bill Vanderbush was talking and he said, I told a pastor, it wasn't me, he said, I told a pastor, if there's only one thing you preach, you just preach on beholding Jesus. And I was like, well, that's tomorrow. That was a good confirmation, Jesus. Thank you. So we're going to talk about beholding Jesus. How many know if you behold Jesus, everything else kind of comes into alignment? In fact, I would dare say everything is out of alignment and you know you aren't beholding him anymore, right? It's like one or the other. It's like getting your tires aligned. Have you ever driven a car and like you just keep pulling left? It's horrible. Or you don't have the power steering. Anyone ever tried to drive without power steering? My gosh, I did it once and I was like, that's it. I can't even go anywhere, right? And that's what beholding Jesus is. You can't go anywhere. You're pulled to the left. You're pulled to the right. We're called to lock eyes on Jesus. Amen? So we're going to talk about behold. How many know the beautiful gospel song? I will not sing it because it won't sound beautiful this morning. it's like, behold the Lamb of God. The precious Lamb. Oh, poor Brian. I had it on repeat last night going back from Albany. He was like, we got to shut it off. I'm like, I know. But it's such a beautiful song. If you don't know that song, just go home and listen to it. I don't care if it's your style of music. It's a little taste of heaven. Behold the Lamb of God. It's such a beautiful, beautiful song. They couldn't quite pull it off this morning, so they didn't try. But let's look at the definition of behold and get into this a little bit more. So behold, to see, perceive, to look upon, to experience, to discern, to be aware, to see with my eyes, to see with my mind, to know, to become acquainted with by experience, and to care for. Those are some of the words that describe what it means to behold. Because behold sounds a little bit Old English, but I love the word. The first time this word is used in the New Testament, it's in Matthew 1:20, when Joseph beheld an angel of the Lord telling him Mary was pregnant with Jesus. And I love this because it means the first behold in the New Testament was all about expecting the unexpected. How many have ever looked to Jesus or experienced Jesus and suddenly you are expecting the unexpected? There's a new normal that suddenly came into your life, right? That it's all about checking what Joseph had been beholding. How many know Joseph had some preconceptions, and when the angel showed up and he beheld him, he now had to let go of the old normal that he had figured out for his life, and now he had to receive the new normal. Or he didn't have to. It was a choice, right? And we have that every day. It also prepared Joseph for a new experience unlike anything he'd had before. How many know getting into worship in the presence of God prepares you for what you are unprepared for? How many have ever walked into something unprepared? Some of us thrive under pressure, some of us don't, and some of us think we thrive, but our bodies are like breaking apart. I like working under high stress. It's like my favorite for years. I don't know if I actually like it, though. My body's like, maybe we don't like this as I get older, right? And all that to say, there is a preparation that God will actually give you as you behold him. He will prepare you for what you were unprepared for. So that when you walk into that situation, suddenly you have a peace that you shouldn't have had. Or you'll have an answer that doesn't make sense. Has anyone ever had that? I've definitely had that. And it's because I beheld him in the secret place so that then he could prepare me for what I would be unprepared for in the public place. Are you with me on that? What we experience, we are transformed by. This is why someone can talk all day at you and you won't change a thing. Have you ever seen a child and, man, they'll like you just tell them this, but if they go home and they experience the opposite of what they've been told all day, are they going to do what they were told or are they going to reflect what they experienced, right? Think about that. And that is why our mission is thriving homes, right? Because we reflect what we experience, not just what we are talked about to, right? It's why we can taste and see that the Lord is good, and you'll experience a blessing in taking refuge in him. Psalm 34:8. It doesn't say to ponder intellectually how good God is, although that's great. He gave us a brain. Let's use it, right? But he designed us to experience him. And, you know, on our wall, our mission statement is to invite people to experience God. Amen? There's a lot of pondering going on, and that's great. We love, we like to use our brains here, I hope, please. But we like to experience God. We like to behold him for who he is. Amen? The devil did not create our soul and our body, and God created our spirit. The devil did not create your emotions. He did not create your mind. He did not create your body. And then God created your spirit, right? We're not a body trying to get to church to have a spiritual encounter. I heard Bill say that this week, and I was like, oh, that's good. We are a spirit having a temporary physical moment on earth. Don't go all weird on me on that, okay? But it's important because how many sometimes feel like, well, what's real is this, right? And I got physical things happening, all this. And if I can just get to church, I have just like a 5-minute spiritual moment, right, for my starving spirit. But really, God created all of us. He created our body, our soul. Amen? And he wants all of us to experience all of him, to all behold him in all of his glory. Amen? It says in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, I know I told you to get your Bibles out, now I'm just cruising, so I apologize, but if you can keep up, go to 1 Thessalonians 5:23. We will land in a minute, I promise. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. Can you just say that word, entirely? And may your spirit and your soul and your body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I love that. That's a beautiful prayer to pray over yourself, to pray over your family, over friends. May your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete. It's like that word sozo, right, that Jesus used when he said he came to save the lost. He came to rescue, to heal, to deliver, and to preserve, to complete, right, to wholeness, to our whole life. But if the enemy can make us believe that the experiences in this world are stronger than the experiences God gives, we will miss out on beholding God. Have you ever thought of that? It's easier, this is the lie, to behold what's going on around us than to behold God. The experience I'm having right now in this area of my life is stronger than the experience that God can give me. Does that make sense? And the problem is that shifts our focus and we start worshiping our circumstances because we're saying, God, you're actually smaller than what's happening in my life. That's actually what we're saying when we say that. And soon we're not beholding God, we're beholding our circumstances. It's a real easy slip. And suddenly, God of the universe, put them in a little tiny thing and we stick them here and we blow and magnify up what we're going through. Does that make sense? There is no negative, there is no positive, there is no traumatic or enjoyable experience that is stronger than the experience of knowing Jesus, than beholding Jesus. And it doesn't make light of anything you've gone through, but it doesn't make light of what Jesus went through to save you and make you whole. Isn't that the beautiful part of the gospel? No matter what you've been through or are going through, Jesus and what he did on that cross is still bigger, and he can minister to you without belittling what you're going through. That's the mercy and the compassion of Jesus. And the problem is when we don't have that compassion, it's like, what do we do? It's like, oh, well, suck it up. The cross happened. Why are you having a problem? That's the uncompassionate, not father's heart version of what I'm saying. But the father's heart, you know, when your kid hurts themselves, I mean, we all respond differently depending on how they hurt themselves. But, I mean, maybe if it's like a little tiny cut and they're throwing a temper tantrum, I don't know. I'll have a kid soon. We will talk later. But they hurt themselves. You're not going to be like their leg's broken and you're like, suck it up. That's what a doctor's for, right? Hopefully not, right? And that's the mercy of God. He gets down in the dirt, he picks us up, he carries us in his arms, and he heals us. But he never belittles or becomes less than what we're going through. Behold the Lamb of God. Amen? We become what we behold. The poet William Blake said that. Beholding points to what we worship, what we are aware of most, and what we discern. So if you're like, I'm still confused, what does this behold actually mean? What are you aware of? When you wake up, what are you aware of? In your relationships, what are you aware of? In your workplace, what are you aware of? And you know, discernment's like, oh, I can discern the darkness. Well, it's about anybody can right now. I'm not making little of that gift, but discernment is also, hey, I have the light of the world in me, and when I walked in the room, that light is bigger than any darkness around. That's also discernment. Don't let discernment stop at the darkness. Let discernment start there and then release the light. Amen? What are you aware of most? Maybe that's why some of us look like a cloudy day in April because of seasonal depression. Anybody? I was like, man, I feel like a cloudy, like just a gray cloud by April. And do you know that one of the missions of the church, we never really talked about it, but at every leader's retreat the last 5 years, we're like, how can our church be the antidote to seasonal depression for the area? Pastor Caleb is on it. So far, we're doing a church plant in Florida in 5 years, and we can all move with me, right? But no, I'm joking. I'm not leaving. Don't worry. But man, I'd like to get out here for just 5 days, right in March. If you don't do that, I don't either right now, but our hearts are together in it, okay? But wouldn't it be cool to be the antidote to seasonal depression in the area? I don't make light of seasonal depression. It's very serious. Some of us struggle with it more than others. But it's a real thing, right? When Jesus died on that cross, the curtain tore to the Holy of Holies, and the 24/7 access of the presence of God was made available to humanity. Isn't that powerful? I want to say this one more time. There's no mood, no diagnosis, no prognosis, no ability, no disability, no situation, and no battle you are in or facing or have faith stronger than the blood of Jesus that makes a way for us to behold him no matter what we are going through. Amen? And I know we talked about Jehoshaphat just a little bit, a couple months ago, I think it was, but I'm just going to review this real quick. 2 Chronicles 20:21 says, after consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever or never quits. Some of us think that what we're going through endures forever. I think that's one of the reasons why the worshipers were at the front of the army. Because how many have been in a battle and it looks like the battle will endure forever? And that's a real thing. And sometimes that forever has lasted years. So I'm not making light of that word forever. But Jehoshaphat put the worshipers who were beholding God at the front of the army to remind everybody that the only thing, can you just say the only thing, that lasts forever is the love of God. And some of us need to hold on to that like the anchor it is for our soul. This may look like it's lasting forever, but the only thing that lasts forever is the love of God. And there's like the worship song, like, give thanks to the Lord our God and King, his love endures forever, right? This is why I wasn't on the worship team today. And it's kind of like this, like, what is it, 80s, 90s, 70s? I have no idea. It's an older song. It's a great song. But I don't think the army was like, just like having fun at the front of the right? The worshipers were at the head of the army going into battle, right? Brian, the other day, don't take this as theology, but anyway, we were talking about the different instruments mentioned in the Bible in heaven, and he was like, you know, metal isn't mentioned in heaven, so this is the only time I can worship God with metal on earth. So I'm just gonna, I was like, I don't know if that's how that works, Brian, but okay, all right. He loves to work out to worship metal. If you hate metal, you can talk afterwards. But anyway, the lyrics are quite powerful. It gives me a headache. The point is, I'm not sure that the worshipers at the front of the army sounded like a little gentle choir. It may have been the first metal concert. We don't know, right? They're going into battle. They are singing for their lives. When was the last time you worshiped for your life? And it doesn't have to look like the person next to you. You may have been doing it this morning and no one even knew. Jehoshaphat knew that what his army beheld going into battle impacted what they experienced during the battle and the outcome. There is no battle greater than experiencing Jesus in the middle of it. There is no experience of a battle that is stronger than the experience of the victory of Jesus. So often we worship the battle. 2 Chronicles 20:22 says, as they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir and who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. As they began to sing, the Lord set ambushes. How many know that as you began to sing this morning, the Lord set ambushes for where you were going to be walking this week, and the enemy was defeated? Do you know that you start your week, the starting point of your week is a defeated enemy? The starting point of your day is a defeated enemy. As you behold God, defeated enemy. Isn't that good? Do you know the song by Brandon Lake, It Might Get Loud? We tried it here once. I don't know. I think we did it like twice. It's kind of an awkward song to sing, but it's kind of fun to listen to. I go listen to it. But it might get loud. That's basically the words. That's why it was awkward to sing. And what I love, though, is louder than the enemy, Jehoshaphat's army heard God's love. And how many know that sometimes we sing It Might Get Loud, but we're singing it about our crisis or our despair? It might get loud. Like, you wake up and you're like, it might get loud. It might get loud today. I'm going to meet with that person. I'm going to meet with myself. It might get loud. My mind, it might get loud today. My emotions, it might get loud. When the reality is, when we are walking in the new normal of Jesus, the only it might get loud is the love of God as we walk with him through the battles of life. And God sets ambushes on the enemy. We don't even know what we've been saved from. What is loud in your life right now? Behold. Behold the Lamb of God. Can we just say, behold the Lamb of God? I literally have an entire second point here that I did not get to. I'm not going to do it today. That's okay. We will do part two as I continue to try to preach until I can't anymore for just a minute, all right? But I wanted to talk about ways to behold him. And we do have, I have a whole thing here on different ways to hear from God. They're just really cool. And just different ways. They're all practical, and it's going to be powerful. So I will save that, all right? We'll just put a pin in that. But I think today's message really is all about no matter what battle you are facing, to behold him. Is it okay if we just kind of keep it simple this morning? So why don't we stand on our feet? I'm ending just a little bit early, but that's because we have a meeting coming up after this. Believing and beholding is all about letting go of any resistance to seeing Jesus. Bill Vanderbush yesterday was talking about how believing is not a works. How many have ever felt like, I just have to believe enough, right? I was having a conversation with God this week, and I was like, God, I don't have the faith. And then I realized, I don't make faith. God makes faith. I'm going to receive the faith, right? And so I want to encourage you, if you're like, I don't know how to behold him. I've been trying to behold him, and it's really stressful. It's all about letting go of the resistance. And I will get into that more practically here in my second half here. But that might look like forgiveness. It might look like getting rid of some roadblocks, some preconceptions about who God is, whatever it is, and just hearing his voice in a new way. He's always speaking, even if we don't think or hearing it or noticing it. And I've got some cool stories to tell about that. But I want to invite us, just as we close here, to behold Jesus. God, we just behold you. God, forgive us when we have beheld the battle more than you. And God, anything that we are going through right now, each one of us, Father, the loads that we are carrying, the questions that we have, God, we thank you. You are not afraid.